Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier. It's good to be with everyone today on this Thank God It's Friday. That's TGIF. Trust you have some great plans for the day, but what a great way to start the day by tuning in to The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network. We've got a very interesting program today, and there's an interview that took place at around 8:30 this morning, just a half hour ago, Central Standard Time. And as you know, yesterday was the president's birthday, President Donald J. Trump. And, you know, I have to admit, he is one heck of a unique guy. And there's a little interview that took place right outside the White House. I want to share that with you in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to just begin with the thoughts that have been resonating around my mind and things I've been watching and seeing and hearing. And I thought this would be a great opportunity to share those things with our listeners today. And let's just hit a few points right off the bat. Number one, chase your lion, fight your giant, face your fear. These are the battles every overcomer must engage. These battles are the stepping stones to destiny, calling, and success. There is no turning away from these battles for the overcomer. It is time for your flight. Let me read that again. It is time for your fight, not your flight. And you need to know that the overcomer, is living on the inside of you, the Lord Jesus Christ. His promise is victory, triumph, and to make us more than conquerors. And that's something I want to just talk about today, because as I was writing that down, again, that was motivated and inspired by watching different ministers, listening to different sermons and messages lately. And I know that this is the other side of the coin. We spend on this radio program a tremendous amount of time in equipping and preparing and going as deep as we can into the heart of God's people to bring the cleansing, the purification, the sanctification. We talked about that yesterday. And that must be understood and balanced with the purpose of all of that. You know, what is the purpose of my sanctification? What is the purpose of my cleansing? What is the purpose of me getting cleaned up on the inside and becoming a vessel of shining gold, to become crystal clear in my conscience, in my soul, being put all back together again? Why such labor? Well, because that's how we become the overcomers. This is how we are more than conquerors. And the idea is God will send a lion, and there's a gentleman by the name of Mr. Batterson out of Washington, D.C. that wrote a book called Chase Your Lion. And, you know, for the few minutes that I was able to grasp what he was saying, which was very important, I felt, is that God will send a lion in your direction, and the lion will roar, but that is not a time to take flight, that the overcomer will face or chase the lion. That there will be something intrinsic on the inside of a believer that will go after the lion, not run from the lion. Does that resonate with you this morning? Is it time for you to run to the roar, in other words? And then, of course, when it talks about fighting your giant, King David, what a perfect example of what it means to go face a giant. And, you know, everybody reads that as a little story for kids, but it's a really important story for every one of us right now, because there'll be many giants in the land. And we hear about these days that we're living in, of the Nephilim and all of these different things. So you and I have to have something inside of us that's ready to face a giant, while the rest of Israel is hiding out on a mountainside, terrified by the threats of this giant. Well, to the overcomer, to the seed of David, there is a can-do on the inside that is willing to face that giant. And then, of course, the facing your fear. And this is really, really important, to face the things that we have run from our entire lives, whether it's a fear of relationship, whether it was a fear of failure, whether it was some phobia or ghost from the past when we were children, the fear to face or deal with an issue that we've just left undealt and we haven't addressed it because we don't like the feelings we get from it. But really, to the overcomer, that's impossible. That is impossible. For us to become what God has intended us to become, we must be willing to chase the lion, fight the giant, and face the fear. This is how we become. These are the stepping stones. And so today, I want to declare over your life the victory, the success, the calling, the destiny that God has for your life. I guarantee you that if you're listening to this radio broadcast, you have not been destined to sit back and be an observer. That in fact, you have been trained up, equipped, made aware of what is going on in this world so that you could be a mighty conqueror in the days ahead. You're going to face your fears. But I want to introduce to you a man that knows all about chasing lions, fighting giants, and facing fears. This man, well, I will not put him on a pedestal, and I will continue to speak of the necessity of moving into deeper territory of spiritual and moral things. But yet, here is a man that has stood in the face of many lions, many giants, and many fears, and has been unwilling to budge or move off the mark to which he has been called. I believe that in some mystical, mysterious, golden, anointed way, that this man has been set to be an example to others in the body of Christ of what it means to stand your ground in the face of great adversity. Whether that adversity is coming from within your own soul, your phobias, your fears, your nightmares, whether that is coming from a giant that's shouting at your life every single day about how he's going to destroy you, or whether that is the roar of a vicious lion that is moving in your direction. This man, I believe, in our modern day, is a pretty darn good example. This man is fighting in the FBI, the globalist, the progressive far left. This man is standing his ground when the forces that are in the entire world are laboring to destroy him. Now, if this man's name was written in the Bible and all the acts of his life were recorded, what would be said of him at this time? in the United States of America. I mean, fast forward 2,000 years. Let's go forward. Let's go forward 1,000 years. And let's say that this man's name is in the Bible in one of the chapters, and it tells the exploits of what he has done thus far and the opposition against his life. Well, I'm going to let him speak for himself. I hope you'll enjoy the next 30 minutes of an interview of the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. So just listen in carefully, hear the words. The interview was given right in front of the White House. He's very jovial in the sense that his birthday was just celebrated. He's fresh off of a signing over in Singapore on the Island of Tranquility. He is boasting about some things that are going on, and the revelation is, and that's a good boast, by the way, not a negative boast, and he is facing and winning against the lions, the giants, and the fears that have come against his life. Listen to this interview with President Donald J. Trump. Just happened about 40 minutes ago, right on the White House lawn.
You've got some excitement out on your lawn today. Hello, Mr. President.
A little excited.
What brings you here?
Are we on already?
We're on. We're live.
Oh, wow. That's good.
We're on every channel.
We had an exciting trip over here, I have to say.
No kidding.
That was good. It was good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I was here for the baseball game. How about Steve Scalise last night?
I think he's great. How about the play? The first play of the game.
Unbelievable.
He's a great guy. Courageous.
Right.
You like you.
Yeah. Huh? Sure. Having you stop by live, I got some questions.
I was mugged by the media.
They've got questions for you. I'm hoping I can ask a lot of the questions they've got.
Very, very nice people.
You know, the IG report came out yesterday. The FBI looks bad.
Very bad.
Your FBI.
It was Comey. I mean, they were talking about Comey, not my FBI. It was Comey. The people in the FBI are incredible. I would bet if you took a poll in the FBI, I would win that poll by more than anybody's ever won a poll. But the top people were horrible. You look at what happened. They were plotting against my election. Probably has never happened like that in terms of intelligence, in terms of anything else. Right. But they were actually plotting against my election.
The headline right now.
But I'm actually proud because I beat Clinton dynasty.
Right.
I beat Bush dynasty. And now, I guess, hopefully I'm in the process of beating very dishonest intelligence, because what they did was incredible and a real insult to millions of people that voted in that election on both sides.
The headline right now from the Wall Street Journal, DOJ Clinton report blasts Comey and agents but finds no bias in conclusion.
Well, the end result was wrong. I mean, there was total bias. I mean, when you look at Peter Strzok and what he said about me, when you look at Comey, all his moves. So I guess, you know, it's interesting. It was a pretty good report. And then I say that the IG blew it at the very end with that statement, because when you read the report, it was almost like Comey. He goes point after point about how guilty Hillary is.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, but we're not going to do anything about it. The report, the IG report, was a horror show. I thought that one sentence of conclusion was ridiculous.
What about apparently the lovebirds talking about you? We will stop it.
Yeah, they said they will stop me. Well, in the meantime, the economy hit an all-time high this morning. Never been better. Jobless rate the lowest, the best in 44 years, just came out.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have some incredible things. We're just announcing very big tariffs today on China, because China has been, you know, look, he's my friend, President Xi. He's a great man. He's a wonderful guy, but at some point we have to straighten it out. We lost $500 billion in trade deficits last year. We can't do that.
Is the new tariff something like 25% on 50
Well, it's being
billion?
Announced right now as
okay.
I speak.
You can announce it.
So maybe you have the first announcement. You
What do you know
you
about your tariff?
You have beaten the Wall Street Journal, all right? You just beat the Wall Street Journal by a lot. Oh, we're just going to do $50 billion on $50 billion of high technology equipment and other things coming into the country. Because so much of our secrets, you know, we have the great brain power in Silicon Valley,
mm-hmm.
and China and others steal those secrets, and we're going to protect those secrets. Those are crown jewels for this country.
Right.
And, you know, you read so much about China, you read so much about other countries. We have the great brain power right in this country, I'm proud to say. And you're certainly a member of that group.
I am an American. What about the fact that there are a lot of people who say, what's he doing? He's going to start a trade war. If he slaps 25% on $50 billion for China, that's going to be bad for Americans.
No, the trade war was started many years ago by them and the United States lost.
So you're saying we're on the losing end of it.
Well, no, there is no trade war. They've taken so much. So last year, $375 billion in trade deficit. We had a $300 with China. We had overall over $800 billion over a period of years. Each year, close to $800 billion in losses on trade. Not going to happen anymore. Yeah. It's not going to happen. Can't happen.
A week ago, you were up in Canada, and you met with the G7 people. You know, that didn't end so well.
Oh, it ended well for the United States. It ended well.
Well, the world community thinks the United States is turning our back on them.
No,
but
no,
your
no.
opinion is that it's you got elected to represent America, and America needs help.
We need protection. Everybody's taken advantage of us. The European Union made $151 billion on us last year. If you look at, I told you about China, you look at Japan, you look at South Korea, you look at so many, and we help these countries militarily on top of everything else. I mean, you know, at what point does it stop? And when I left China, it was absolutely a fantastic meeting. We left, we hugged, we kissed, everybody was leaving, and then I get onto Air Force One, and the prime minister up there, Trudeau, didn't think, I guess, that we have any televisions on Air Force One, but they have, I think, 21 televisions or some ridiculous number.
And you saw it and you hit the roof.
Well, you have to understand, we're hugging, we're saying goodbye, everybody's happy. I made changes to the agreement because I wanted it to be much better for the United States. I made changes, we're all happy. And then he got up and started saying that he doesn't want to be pushed around by the United States. Well, they charge us almost 300% on dairy products.
Right.
So we can't do that.
Have you heard from any of the
G7
leaders?
They all called me to wish me happy birthday yesterday.
Really? And how was that?
It was very...
Not your birthday, but the message from the other side.
I took it very well.
Right.
No, they all called. I mean, I have great friendships. The new prime minister of Italy is great. Mm-hmm. Got to meet him. Very, very strong on immigration, like I am, by the way. It seems that strong on immigration wins now.
Sure. But
and,
this
you know,
is...
the Democrats, by the way, are very weak on immigration. Now, if you notice, when I came over, they were all saying about separating the families. And that's a Democrat bill. That's Democrats wanting to do that. And they could solve it very easily by getting together. But they think it's a good election point. I think it's a horrible election point for them.
Ultimately, Congress has got to change the
law.
But at the same time, Mr. President, people say, look, you rip these families apart. Even though it is the law, it's heartless.
But that's the law. And that's what the Democrats gave us. And we're willing to change it today if they want to get in and negotiate. But they just don't want to negotiate. They're afraid of security for our country. They're afraid of a wall. Although I must tell you, most people now, really, they want the wall. They want to stop the drugs. They want to stop a lot of people from coming in that shouldn't be here, like MS-13.
A lot of I was up on Capitol Hill yesterday with Steve Scalise. They were having a leadership meeting. It sounds like they're going to take a vote on a couple of different bills on immigration probably next week.
Yeah.
One of them, the Good Lad Bill, the other is something more moderate. Would you sign either one of them?
I'm looking at both of them. I certainly wouldn't sign the more moderate one.
What does the bill have to have?
I need a bill that gives this country tremendous border security. I have to have that. We have to get
rid of
catch
and release. Does that mean the wall?
We have to have the wall. We don't have the wall. There's no bill. We have to have catch and release. We catch a criminal, a real criminal, a rough, tough criminal. We take his name and then we release him.
Right.
And we say, please show up to court in a couple of months. You know what the chances of getting them to court are? Like zero, okay?
Right.
It's crazy. Then we have the lottery program, right? It's called Lotto Visery.
Diversity lottery program.
Yeah, or lottery visa.
Okay, one of those.
Okay, whatever. They have 15 names. It's still, every one of them has lottery. You know what lottery is? That's where you pick names to come into the country. When a country gives names, they're not giving us their finest. So we're picking people. It's not good. We have to end that. We have to end a couple of them and... We are going to be so secure as a country. Now, with all of that being said, we're doing a great job. ICE, we're getting MS-13 out by the thousands. But we shouldn't have to be going into towns in Long Island and other places and getting them out. You know, it's almost like we're liberating towns. It's incredible.
You mentioned court. Regarding a legal proceeding, you got the Mueller investigation. I know we kind of touched on that a little while ago. Rudy Giuliani is out this morning. He said the investigation should go away, time to fold up the tent, or it's time to investigate the investigators. Are you on the same page?
Look, we have 13 angry lawyer? Democrats. They're 13, I call them 13 angry Democrats, and others worked for Obama for 8 years. I mean, you have no Republicans. You have no it's a very unfair situation, but the IG report totally exonerates. I mean, if you look at the results and if you look at the head investigator is saying we have to stop Trump from becoming president. Well, Trump became president. We have the best economy today we've ever had.
Right.
We have much greater border security than we ever would have had. And when we do it, when we have the laws changed, it'll be like perfecto.
Rudy says that you should not talk to Mueller.
A lot of people say that. Look,
given the IG report and stuff that's coming out.
They're getting people who say something a little bit off. Is it a nice day? Well, you know, no, it's not a great day. Oops, right. He lied. He goes, you know, got problems.
People
are afraid of that. And I would like to talk, but it seems to be very biased.
Mm-hmm. One of some of the texts, and we're not going to quote them, were very
vicious
regarding people who support you.
Yeah, vicious. I have the greatest supporters in the world. By the way, they're the smartest. They're the hardest working. They pay taxes. They're incredible. They're loyal. I have the bikers. I have the construction workers. I have them all. I have the FBI. You go into the FBI and take a poll of the real FBI, not the scum on top, not Comey and that group of people that are total thieves.
Most of those are gone.
Well, I don't know how Peter Strzok is still working there, to be honest with you.
He's
okay?
working in HR.
That's even worse.
Mr. President, this is your FBI.
But you know what I've done? And you know this. I've told you this. I'm so involved. Great new Secretary of State.
Right.
I have a fantastic relationship now with North Korea. You know, there were missiles being thought about.
Yeah.
People aren't thinking about it anymore. I said on the Department of Justice, I would stay uninvolved. Now, I may get involved at some point if it gets worse. I say I'm staying uninvolved. I'm letting this report go through. I did nothing wrong. There was no collusion. There was no obstruction.
But, Mr. President, I was on Capitol Hill yesterday, and there are a number of congressional Republicans who are, you know, they're trying to get some documents from your Department of Justice, your FBI.
I tried to stay involved. I may not stay involved, you know, uninvolved, because they have to get the documents. Look, I think everybody.
But your FBI is stonewalling.
I think that Rod
Rosenstein
thinks that you have to get the documents. I really believe that. I saw him yesterday. Mm-hmm. Gave me a briefing. I think that he believes you have to get the documents.
What did he say regarding the IG report?
Well, he wasn't thrilled about it. I mean, you know, you can't be if you're in there now. But it really was talking about the past. It's not talking about us. It's talking about before us. And it's talking about the election.
Mm-hmm.
What they did during the election was a disgrace. It's probably never happened in our country before. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. What's going to happen when we go further?
Mm-hmm.
And there was total bias. I mean, total bias.
From what you've seen so far, should James Comey be locked up?
Well, look, I would never want to get involved in that. Certainly, they just seem like very criminal acts to me. What he did was criminal. What he did was a terrible thing to the people. What he did was so bad in terms of our Constitution, in terms of the well-being of our country. What he did was horrible. Should he be locked up? Let somebody make a determination. Look at all the dishonest things that crooked Hillary did. Look at what's gone on. It's very sad.
It sounds like he was using a private email, too.
He had a private email. That was, of all the things, that wasn't, to me, maybe the most interesting, but it was probably the funniest.
Because she got in big trouble for her private email. Yeah. Oh, James Comey's using one.
That was a little bit of a surprise, I have to say.
Yeah. From what we've seen, though, regarding the IG report, it sounds like Comey made some bad judgments, but nothing criminal.
Well, if you look at what happened, and don't forget, all of these people like Strzok, what he did was criminal.
Mm.
Strzok and so many others, McCabe is
you
now
mean
up.
The bias, the animus?
Well, they all worked for Comey, and Comey knew everything that was going on. You think McCabe didn't tell him everything? McCabe told him everything, and McCabe is up for criminal right now.
And now he's suing the Department of Justice.
And he's now suing, and it's a total mess. They're all going against each other. No, I think Comey was the ringleader of this whole, you know, den of thieves. Mm-hmm. It was a den of thieves.
Are you confident that either through the congressional investigators or the IG report or new management at the FBI, things are going to work out,
things are cleaning up.
And we'll get to the bottom of all that stuff?
I do believe so. I think it's happening. It's happening slowly, but it's happening. I think Christopher Wray is a very different from Comey, which is what you need. You need different. You need like the opposite. And he's moving step by step. And you're going to see a whole new, very proud FBI. I think that the Justice Department will end up being great. It's all going to happen. It's all going to work out. But I tried to stay as much uninvolved as I can.
You were very involved in going to Singapore, negotiating with Kim Jong-un. when you finally met him and sat across the table from him, you know, we've heard a lot of bad things about little Rocket Man, and suddenly you guys seem to be best friends.
We got along very well. We had a good chemistry. I don't know if that's supposed to be popular or politically correct to say, but we really did. We had good chemistry. You haven't had any rockets shut up in the air for 7 months. You haven't had any research. They just blew up their test site. They're blowing up their engine test site for ballistic missiles. He's giving us back our great heroes who died, as you know. We're getting the remains back. And I've had so many people, so many parents, so many fathers and daughters and sons asking me, please, please.
Right.
This is during the campaign and after.
Right.
I say, I don't have exactly a good relationship. Anyway, during the meeting, and we really did hit it off, during the, you know, good chemistry.
You have since used some very friendly words regarding him, and you've taken some heat for that.
That's what it is. I take heat, but what am I supposed to do, walk out and say terrible? I mean, I got along with him very well. We have good chemistry. I asked him, the remains, I'd like to get them.
Right.
He said, yes, we will do that. They are already starting to produce the remains of these great young soldiers who were left in North Korea. We're getting the remains, and nobody thought that was possible.
The way you have described things, it sounds like you feel that he's on the road to denuclearizing.
No, absolutely.
So
it's in the agreement. It says he will denuclearize.
Right.
It's funny when you see the fake news, because, and you guys aren't fake, but I signed an agreement where we get everything. But they say Trump lost because he agreed to meet.
Got the picture.
No, it's a funny thing. You got to watch your CNN. I mean, what a fraud it is.
They're listening. They're right behind you right now.
That's fine. Trump, do you hear me? Trump agreed to meet. I say, I agreed to meet. Of course you got to agree to meet. If you don't agree to meet, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have nuclear war. That's what you're going to have. Mm-hmm. I have a great relationship. He gave us back our hostages. I didn't pay $1.8 billion.
Right.
Paid nothing. But it was very smart that he did it. He gave us back our hostages. He's giving us back the remains of probably 7,500 soldiers. Yeah, there's a tremendous number of soldiers, a tremendous number of MIAs, and, you know, just folks that they've never been found.
It sounds
and they, by the way, they know where many of these bodies are.
What is the stage of the meetings now? I know, you know, you've said
Mike Pompeo's just leaving there. He was in South Korea.
Any developments?
We're getting along great with South Korea. We're getting along great with China, probably until this morning, because we just did a big tariff on China. But that's okay, because I have a wonderful relationship with President Xi. We'll all work it out. He understands it's unfair.
Right.
They can't believe they got away with it for so long, Steve.
Right.
Okay? They can't believe it. I mean, they got away with it for 25 years. I'm not just blaming Obama. I'm blaming many presidents and leaders.
At what point?
It should have never happened.
At what point did the sanctions come off of North Korea?
When we can be sure there will be no more nuclear.
How close are we to that?
Very close. We're very close to getting it started. He wants to do it. He wants to do something great with his country. He wants to make his country great.
So you are saying that you'll relieve the sanctions once whatever he's going to do. That stuff doesn't work anymore.
Once we know that it can't happen.
Right.
And I'm telling you right now, with the relationship I have, it's not going to happen. Hey, you haven't had a rocket test in 7 months. I was with Prime Minister Abe, another good friend of mine from Japan. I said, when's the last time you had a rocket flying over Japan? He said, it has not happened. I said, it won't happen. Don't worry about it.
Are we close to seeing Mr. Kim here at the White House?
It could happen. I mean,
they talked about that yesterday.
I would have him. Yeah, I think it's something that could happen. Yeah. Hey, he's the head of a country, and I mean, he's the strong head.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anyone think anything different.
Right.
He speaks, and his people sit up at attention. I want my people to do the same.
Well, just before you met with him, he cleaned house. Three of his top generals, some of the hardliners, he fired. Then you go over there, and you took some heat over saluting one of the generals.
I think he fired at least, when you say he
fired. Three that we know of.
I think maybe fired at least. Fired may be a nice word. That's right. I met a general. He saluted me. I saluted him back. And I guess they're using that as another soundbite. I mean, you know, I think I'm being respectful to the general. We have a very good relationship with North Korea. When I was talking to President Obama, he essentially was ready to go to war with North Korea. He felt you had to almost go to war. And I did ask him, have you spoken to him? He goes, no. Mm-hmm. I said, do you think it would be a good thing to speak to him maybe?
Right.
Okay. Because, you know, if you go to war there, you're not talking about 100,000 lives, which is a lot.
Right.
You're talking about 30, 40, 50 million lives.
Sure.
Seoul is 30 miles off the border. They don't even need nuclear weapons to take out Seoul. And they have thousands of cannons. They call them cannons. They have the big guns. Thousands pointed right at Seoul. We have a really great relationship for the first time ever. No president's ever had this. So I get hit by these fakes back here. Not all of them. Some are phenomenal. But I get hit because I went there. I gave him credibility. I think it's great to give him credibility. Here's what we got. Everything. Point after point after point.
One point, I think it was in the last week, 10 days. Things are going fast here in Washington, just saying. But
you're having a lot of fun, right?
We're having
so supposing Hillary got elected instead of Trump, do you think it would be so exciting? Your ratings would be way down. Number one show in the morning, folks.
Well, thank you. I've heard you say the others in cable news. That's right. It was within the last week.
Also, on cable news, you're doing pretty well.
We're doing okay.
That's okay.
Thanks for dropping by.
I like ratings.
All the other
I study ratings.
Broadcasting. You had mentioned the NFL players and some taking a knee, and you would like to hear some of the stories of people who you should pardon. And you mentioned professional athletes. Have you heard from any of them?
No, I haven't heard. You know, they were all saying, oh, it has nothing to do with the flag. It's the way we've been treated. In the meantime, they're making $15 million a year. Look, I'm all for the athletes. I think it's great. I love athletics. I love sports, but they shouldn't get the politics involved. When you're in a stadium and they broadcast that nationally, you got to stand and you got to be proud and you got to have your hand up and you got to do everything that's right. And then go out and play really tough football. And once you leave that stadium, go and do whatever you want to do. Run for office, do whatever. But I did say, I have this tremendous power of pardon. Mm-hmm. And Kim Kardashian came in and the woman, 22 years in jail.
People can't believe that you would be listening to Kim Kardashian.
Oh, I did. I don't know her. And I met her. And she was really nice, I have to say, and very capable. But she came in and she said, this is a very unfair situation. I looked at it. I agree. She's in there for 22 years. She's got another 20 years to serve. And you have drug dealers that are doing big stuff, and they get a 2-month sentence. Okay, it was just unfair. And I thought it was a beautiful scene when that woman left prison and ran over to it looked like her grandkids. It was a couple of big, strong guys, some wonderful women. They're all hugging, kissing, everyone's crying. To me, that was a beautiful scene. Right. Well, she thanked me, but thank Kim, because I wouldn't have known about it. And I told the NFL players, indirectly, I said, you have somebody that's aggrieved, because they're saying people are aggrieved. Okay, let me know about it. I'll look at it. If they're aggrieved, I will pardon them. I'll get them out.
I'm shocked you haven't heard from
I don't think I've heard from one. Now, maybe they've called the staff, but I have not personally heard from one.
Speaking of the staff.
Because I don't know if it's a real issue. I don't think it's a real issue.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, your press secretary, she took a lot of heat yesterday from the people behind you.
Maybe she did. I didn't know that.
Well, she did. There was some suggestion that maybe she'd be leaving the White House.
I don't think so. You know, and look, at a certain point, everyone sort of leaves. You have to leave. I'm sort of just staying. I'm like a ship. Just keep going, bing, bing. But Sarah loves this job, and she's announced, not with me. I read that same report. Somebody put it out. I think it was CBS when she said it's a false report, but it's fake news. But at some point, I'm sure she'll leave, like everybody leaves, and we'll get somebody else. But Sarah's done a fantastic job. No, I don't think she's leaving.
What do you make of the...
In fact, she was very insulted that they came out and said that. Right. So I don't think she's leaving.
What do you make of the back and forth between her and the press? Because sometimes it gets
Loud. I think the press treats Sarah very unfairly. That White House correspondent...
But I think some of them feel she's not answering their questions, they're going to ask it again and ask...
Well, I gave a press conference in Singapore. That was like an hour and a half, and that was like the biggest press group I've ever seen, and I answered every single question. I'd answer anybody's question. I guess that's not supposed to be my job. I'm here with you today. You're giving me a lot of
thank you very much.
A lot of interesting questions. But Steve, I think Sarah is really a good person and a nice person, very capable. She's got a lot of the father's genes because her father is great.
Mike Huckabee.
Don't forget, he got up there in that debate stage, and he said, nobody's going to beat Trump. And I even decided to wear, he was running, and I even decided to wear a Trump tie. And I said, I love that guy. I loved him. Okay. Yeah. Mike is a very talented guy, and Sarah is a very talented person, but they treat her very badly. Mm-hmm. What they did to Sarah at the White House correspondence. Now, the only difference I would have done, I would have walked out. I thought she should have walked out instead of sitting there. But
she
you
took
know,
a high road.
She took a very high road. Sometimes you don't take such a high road.
We had Stuart Varney on our air earlier.
By the way, he is great. I love Stuart.
That little part, he's
running
every day now.
And he's right. He knows what he's talking
about. Well, he suggested that the next quarter GDP could be 4%.
Well, they're predicting, you know, the Atlanta Fed predicted 4.8%. I think, you know, it's a lot. Don't forget, when I got elected, I took this thing over. It was 1.2. And each point is $3 trillion and 10 million jobs. You know, a point, people will sit home, oh, it's a point. What difference does it make? Well, it was 1.2, and it was going down. You probably saw this morning I put out, they would have raised your taxes instead of cut your taxes, and they were going to put on more regulations. The last thing we need is regulations. I actually think my regulation cutting had more of an impact on the economy than the tax cuts.
When you were running, you said for every regulation we enact, I will cut two.
Right.
But you didn't cut two.
That's
you're,
right.
You're cutting a much bigger number.
22, it turned out. 22. And by the way, you need regulation. I want the cleanest water in the world. I want the cleanest air in the world. I want that air to be so perfect. And our air now is better than it was 2 years ago with all of the talk and all of the nonsense. Clean, crystal clean water, clean air. But I also want our companies to be competitive so they can go around the world and compete. And we were shutting down companies over the environment, and they weren't doing anything wrong. And that's jobs.
Right, but there are some who say, look, the EPA is relaxing a lot of rules that are out there to protect people.
Only rules that don't mean anything or rules that are duplicative. You know, rules
where
you have, well, not only that, I mean, some of them you have nine different times you have to get the same thing approved by different agencies.
Right.
To build a highway in this country takes 19 years of approvals. I have it down to 2 years. And you'll get rejected if it's wrong, if it's environmentally bad.
Right.
But I have it down to 2 years. I want to get it down to 1 year. And that's indicative of everything else, too. A company comes in from China, from Japan. They want to spend a tremendous amount of money on building a plant or something, right? It takes them 7 years to get a permit. And they don't do it because it's too long.
Right.
I have it down to 1 year and even faster.
Right.
Now, if they're wrong, we know immediately. You know, you don't have to wait 7 years. How about going through the process 7 years and getting rejected? How about a highway that spends 19 years getting approved, and then in the last vote, they get a 3-2 vote no? That happens oftentimes, and they spend hundreds of millions of dollars on the approval. Not going to happen anymore.
I saw a headline on Drudge, I think this morning, unemployment at a 44-year low.
Yeah. Drudge is great, by the way. Matt Drudge is a great gentleman. Who really, I don't know, he's got an ability to capture the stories that people want to see. But that was the number one story on Drudge, 44-year low unemployment. And I saw that in very big letters, actually.
Right.
And I said, that makes me very proud.
Another story out there was this past week is while you did meet with Kim Jong-un, it sounds like you and Mr. Putin may be sitting down sometime soon. What can you tell us about
we
that?
We may, and it started because a reporter shouted to me, should Putin be in the G7? I said, no, he should be in the G8. It used to be the G8 a few years ago. And I think President Obama didn't like him, even though they gave advance notice about the election to Obama. People forget about that. You know, Obama was told by the CIA or somebody, FBI, about Russia. He didn't do anything about it. How come he never gets blamed?
Yeah.
In September, just before the election, my election, he should have done, because maybe I would have won by more.
Right. Yesterday, a big day. Not only did the AG report come out, but it was your birthday.
That's right.
Get any good presents?
I got a lot of good kisses. I had a lot of phone calls from people that I would never have gotten phone calls from. I got phone calls.
Who'd you get the kisses from?
From a beautiful wife.
Okay.
Who's really doing great. She's doing great. But, and my kids.
Oh, speaking of your wife.
Yeah.
You know, we saw a story, I think as you were heading to the chopper, you said, you know, she can't fly for a month.
1 month. Well, the doctor said don't fly for a month, but she'll be able to very shortly.
And she's on the med.
Oh, she's in great shape. She's like perfect. She, and somebody said, did she have a facelift? No. Did she have this? Did she have that? I mean, the speculation, even after the doctors gave before, and these are White House doctors, they give, you know, they give this really straight stuff. But no, she's doing fantastically well.
We had your son, Don Jr., on our show, and he said he was not getting you anything for your birthday because you've got everything.
Well, I just want to have a successful country. I'll be honest. I this is so intensive. We've done more. I don't say this in a bragging way. Actually, some of the haters actually say this. We've done more in 500 days, so now it's 510 days, than any 500-day president first term. By far.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do. I want to really You know, I got elected. Make America great again. Very simple. Make America great again. That's what we're doing. And we are respected around the world. You take a look at Iran. They're not talking about Iran taking over the Middle East. I took that crazy deal that Obama gave them away. Iran's not looking to the Mediterranean anymore. You know, they had to go through a lot of territory to get there.
Right.
They're looking to survive. But I will tell you, someday soon, they're going to come back and they're going to want to negotiate a deal and we'll make a deal. But they were nasty. They were very, very nasty, and they had to be stopped. I took away the deal, and I think they've been treating America with much more respect. And I have to say that you don't see the little boats circling our boats anymore. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
Remember with Obama? You'd have this beautiful destroyer. You'd have this Annapolis captain on the boat. And he's sitting there. You could see he's like a boiler waiting to explode because he was given orders. And they were circling us with those boats, right? And he wanted to shoot the hell out of them. They were harassing our guys. And he wanted to shoot the hell out of them.
Yeah.
And you don't see that stuff anymore. By the way, when they captured our 10 sailors and made them get on the knees, you're not going to see that anymore.
I hear the bells in the distance. We're coming up on 9 o'clock in the east. How are you going to celebrate Father's Day?
Work. I'm going to work. I'm going to actually be calling North Korea. I'm going to be calling. I just have right now. I have a call from your friend from France, Emmanuel.
What are you going to tell him?
I'm going to tell him you have to treat us better on trade. European Union's not treating us well on trade. I love trade. You know, trade's always been my thing. Even 20 years ago, when I'd be talking to you, trade was always my thing. It's probably I'm getting a lot of credit for what we're doing foreign, but I think my best thing is going to be trade. We have to straighten out our trade. You know, we're doing well despite our bad trade deals. After we do our trade deals, when you see the numbers.
Mr. President, I don't think in the history – anybody ever know the sitting president come out on the North Lawn? Never happened.
Yeah, Secret Service is thrilled.
I bet.
As I stand here.
On the way.
Look at these guys. They're ready to.
I feel very secure. You know what?
This is definitely your son, by the way.
It's fine. It's
at him. Hey, I look at him. There's no question that's your son.
That's very kind of you. All right, Mr. President, thank you very much.
All right, there it is. You know, you listen to that, and you have to ask yourself the question. And regardless, is this a man that is facing his fears? Is he fighting a giant? Is he chasing a lion? And you look at all of the massive opposition that has been aligned against his life, and you have to sit back and you have to appreciate that this human being that is standing in the office, the highest office in the world, the president of the United States, is fighting against the globalists. He's fighting against, I mean, he's really doing something that you can't just take for granted or ignore or to belittle or to some way make it insignificant. Now, of course, as Christian men and women, what we want to hear, what I desire to hear, I'll never rest until this becomes a reality, because this is more proof in the pudding as far as I'm concerned. Mr. President, when are we going to stop murdering the innocent babies? And Mr. President, when are we going to stop allowing men to marry men and women to marry women? When are we going to get back to the understanding and the wisdom of a Thomas Jefferson, who wanted to create a law that would literally castrate homosexuals for the act, or put them in prison, or the maximum penalty of homosexuality being death? Why was he so extreme about it? Because he knew that that sin would impact the society psychologically in a very negative way. It's a very perverse act, and it unleashes demonic presence everywhere. So, you know, I appreciate and I value and I thank God that I voted for Donald J. Trump, but we want more, right? We want to see the moral, the biblical righteousness being advocated by this president, and there's not enough conversation on that issue. But along the way, people are very, you know, excited about the economy. They're very excited about the changes that are happening. I mean, truly, some magnificent things are changing. North Korea, it's true. Everybody was looking for an EMP. It still may happen. We're still, you know, vulnerable. And this could be the peace and safety moment. And yet, you know, as we wade through all of that, I want to ask you a question. If your name was in the book 1,000 years from now, and they put your name with Josiah, with Moses, you know, they have all these people in the book, the Bible, and the Acts about their lives, the apostles. What would be said about you in your generation? Have you already lived the life that God originally intended you for to live? Are you right now walking in your high calling? Are you now living in the plan that God had for you for this earth, for this time, this momentary, temporary stay on earth? Have you walked in your destiny on earth? I know that all of us are going in Christ Jesus in the resurrection or the translation. We're going to be with the Lord forever and ever, 1,000 years on planet earth, ruling and reigning, and then beyond that into the eternity of eternities, the endless time that God has prepared for our born-again spirit and our souls. And, you know, that's just beyond imagination. But we're talking about right now. Here you have a 72-year-old president that is probably waking up day after day dreaming, I'm the president of the United States. He's a multi-billionaire. He's not taking a salary. He just sat down with Kim Jong-un. The world was making that the most ominous threat in the world. Prophets and prophetesses were talking about this. And, you know, this is just real. He's sitting down with and he's doing things that he said he was going to do. I mean, arresting MS-13 members. Thousands and thousands of gangbangers are being, exported and deported out of this country. So what would be said of you and what would be said of me 1,000 years from now if God were to put a book out there and have our name in it? Just, you know, this is just imagining some things, but what would be said about you? What would be the acts of your life? When is the moment going to come that you slew the bear and the lion and Goliath, and then you were made king? And by the way, each one of those battles with the giant and the bear and the lion were the stepping stones to David's destiny to be the king of Israel as a type and shadow of King Jesus, who is of the seed of David according to the flesh. What are you doing right now? What am I doing right now? What would be said of us in our generation, the generation that is facing the onslaught of globalization and the hate and the far left and the progressives and the communists and the socialists and, you know, the blasphemous ones? And, you know, on the top of all that, Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Again, I'm not saying personally that, you know, I'm content or satisfied with the job, but I'm marveling. I'm thanking God because it's better than what Hillary would have done. But it's still not what we're looking for, because to make America great again has to get back to a biblical morality. To make America great again, we have to remember the spiritual influence. And until these criminal acts of shedding innocent blood and offending God with abominable sins of sexuality and perversion are dealt with, will there ever be the spiritual atmosphere? And so, again, I'm only using President Donald J. Trump as an example of somebody that knows how to stand against a giant, chase after a lion, and fight his fears. I mean, the man has been exposed to the ends of the earth for every little thing he's ever done, but he's standing. And I'm asking you, what is it in your life? What lion has been chasing you? What giant has been threatening you? And what fear have you been running from your whole life? It is time, I believe, in the economy of God for the sons and daughters of God, the overcomers, the more than conquerors, to take a stand and deal head on with the issues in our life. And what does that mean? It means, do you have a very real fear in your life? Have you been afraid of something? Has there been a disappointment? Has there been a failure? Has there something gone wrong, terribly wrong? Is there something that you know has happened that has crippled your life? Is there a lion that is breathing down your neck chasing you? Well, is it time to turn around and chase the lion with the aggression of an overcoming spirit that comes through your born-again relationship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ? Is it time to you, like David, to pick up your stones out of the brook and take your slingshot and go out against Goliath, take his own sword off and cut his head off? So to me, if it's not now, then when? And if you and I do not begin to walk in our destiny and we're still confused about what it is and we're not sure what God has called us to, why is that? Why is that? I mean, there's a whole world out there that is waiting for you. You are a victory away. You are a victory away from ascending into your high place in God. You may not be the next president of the United States, nor will I. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the high place that God has for you. You could be a janitor, and there's nothing wrong with being a janitor, a bus driver. I want to actually apply for a job to be a bus driver. You could be a bus driver or a janitor and still be operating in your high place in God, in Christ Jesus. You can do that. So we're talking about a spiritual development, a spiritual advancement, a spiritual thrust into the ascended place that God has for you and I. And I have been referencing Mount Everest and how there are seven summits on Mount Everest. And to every summit one climbs, it's the journey of a lifetime. And yet we're told in Christ we go from glory to glory, from one summit to the next summit to the next summit until we get to the top of the mountain. And we know that this is going to require prayer and fasting, and it should involve those weapons of war and those strengths to get us to that place at the top where we could see the glory of God. You know, the 144,000 overcomers in Revelation chapter 7 are standing on Mount Zion with the Lamb in Revelation 14. See, the overcomers ascend the mountain. The overcomers get to the top of the mountain. And regardless of what's going on in the world, what's going on in politics, there's a high calling of God upon your life. You are being called to a high place. You are being called. And the only way to get there is to chase the lion that's been chasing you, to fight the giant that's been threatening you, and to face the fear that's been tormenting you. And that's why I thought this time to listen to President Donald J. Trump, a very successful man, but the world came against him, but he stood. Is he under the anointing? And there is an anointing that God is giving to you, that God has given to you in the power of the Holy Spirit to arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Christ is in you. You are the children of God. You are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You have a calling on your life. There's a plan that God has for you before the foundation of the world, and it's just a moment of opportunity to enter into it. Can I tell you a story? Can I let the cat out of the bag? Normally, I used to do it really fast. Every time God did something amazing, I would just go and tell it. Well, we're learning how to keep things in our heart until God says to really release it. But it's Friday. It is the 15th day of June, and I want to share with you a secret. And maybe you're one of the people that are tuned into the broadcast right now, and you've been listening and taking the time to really understand what this broadcast is about. I want to share with you a little mystery, something for you to think about. 3 days ago, in the evening, before going to bed, rather than watching the news or television, I was very much led to open my Bible and start to read. I happened to open up to Ezekiel chapter 1. As I was reading Ezekiel chapter 1, I read in the very first verse these words. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Now up front, the most important thing of that particular verse is that the heavens were opened and I saw the visions of God. But what the Holy Spirit prompted me to look at was the date, the 30th year, the fourth month, the fifth day of the month. And I could not get away from that. So I got out of my comfort zone in bed, and I went downstairs, and I opened up the computer, and I started searching in the Hebrew calendar what the fifth day of the fourth month, when that was. When is that? When's the fifth day of the fourth month? And I came to realize that we were now in the, this changes today, by the way, that we are, it changed yesterday. So we were in Sivan the third month, because in the Hebrew calendar, you have Nisan, you have Iyar, then you have the, where we just were, Sivan, and then the fourth month is Tammuz. And so in Ezekiel 1, it talks about in the fourth month, which was Tammuz, in the fifth day. And I wanted to, and I, so I did the Hebrew converter, and I put the fifth day of the fourth month, and I converted it, and it turned out to be June 18th. And I thought, wow, June 18th, that's still ahead of us. And on June 18th, the heavens were opened, and I saw the visions of God. And then, of course, I read all of chapter 1 and what Ezekiel was seeing and how it parallels with Revelation chapter 4 predominantly and Revelation chapter 10. And then I saw that the calling of the prophet Ezekiel was to go to the rebellious house, and I read chapter 2 and then I read chapter 3. And, I, you know, you just get caught into these things. But the predominant theme was the fifth day of the fourth month, which in our calendar this year is June 18th. So I decided to share that Wednesday night at Bible study. And my dear sister in the Lord, Marissa, lit up like a candle, started waving her hands, and she told the church the story that on January 28th, 2018, while she was laying in bed with pneumonia, in her journal was writing about the open doors. Everything about her journal was open doors, open doors, open doors. She even told a story about her garage door that needed to be open and no man could close it. And then at the end of her writing on January 20th, she put the date in her journal, June 18th and June 19th. And she told us that, and I looked at her from the pulpit in absolute stunned awe. And I said, wait a second, you're telling me on January 28th, you wrote in your journal about open doors, and you're telling me that at the on January 28th, not only did you write a whole page on open doors and all these different things, but you put the date June 18th and 19th after what I just shared with you out of Ezekiel chapter 1. And the whole church, we were just blown away. We were just in awe. We're going, oh my gosh, what is that? And then you go to a Revelation chapter 4, and there was an open door in heaven, an open door in heaven. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, the heavens were opened, and I saw the visions of God. I'm here to tell you that there's a possibility that on Monday, June 18th, Tuesday, June 19th, that there is going to be an experience with God's people where God is going to open the heavens and the visions of God are going to be given to God's people. Is it possible that the devil is warring against you to get you distracted, whether it's through bitter offense, whether it's through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, or some other distraction, that he does not want you to know about this moment of time, that God is obviously saying something? I mean, Marissa and I have never, ever, ever, she didn't even talk to anybody about it. It was the first time she ever spoke about it. And yet she wrote it down. I asked her to take a picture, show it to me. She took a picture when she got home Wednesday night. She sent it to me. There were the dates, June 18th and June 19th. Well, I think that's very interesting. And I'm thinking for you and I, God's people, that there's a portal that's going to open, a door in heaven that's going to open. The heavens are going to open. Our understanding is going to open. We're going to have an aha moment. And then we started talking about the chariots of God. Have you ever wondered why Elijah was picked up by a chariot? Have you ever wondered why when Gehazi was on the mountain with Elijah and he was saying, oh, the enemy has surrounded us. And he said, open his eyes. And then all of a sudden he saw the chariots of God. And when you look up the word chariots, it was the Calvary. It literally means the Calvary. So the Calvary of God is in chariots. There's tens of thousands on white horses. Jesus rides a white horse. Why is God employing chariots all the time? Elijah was picked up by a chariot of fire that came and took him away from Elisha. What is it about this tangible heaven that we're not aware of? Why are we so used to the morbid earthly reality when the heavens are ripe and crackling with divine power? And we sit back and we just kind of go through. But I'm here to tell you that there's something going to happen on June 18th. When the sun sets on Monday night, June 18th, all the way till the June 19th, I believe that God is going to do something. We're going to be gathered together for prayer here in Northwest Arkansas. We're not going to let that witness. I mean, you're telling me that a woman was writing in a journal on January 28th 2018 about open doors. She put the date June 18th and 19th. And then here it is Wednesday night, 2 days ago. And I'm telling people what God showed me out of Ezekiel, that that day, the fourth month and the fifth day of the month, happens to be June 18th. And we talk about it at the same time. You know how impossible that is? Do you know how calculated? That is just beyond measure. With 7 billion people on the planet, the two people at New Wine Ministry got the same thing without even knowing it. Are you kidding me? Folks, this is your time. God's going to open the doors. He's going to open the heavens. He's going to open your understanding. He's going to open the eyes of your faith. You're going to see your moment of release into destiny, for it is time to climb to the top of the mountain to be the overcomer that God has called you to be. Will you be one of those 144,000? They didn't tell us their names. They didn't show us their faces. But these are the spirits of the overcomers. And I pray to God that you, I, could actually stand in a crowd like that. I am so excited about it, dear friends. I've got to go because Patricia Joy is coming right now. But I'm going to play my favorite song one more time by Keith Green. We'll see you on Monday. Lord willing, what a June 18th day that's going to be. Until we meet again, I'm Pastor Vincent Xavier. Shalom and God bless.
Vincent Xavier. What an exciting time. Couldn't be more exciting, no matter what took place in this world. And yes, Trump is being led to bring a retrieve. And we know that that was going to happen because at a certain point, they're going to say peace and safety and then sudden destruction. But this reprieve is not for the world, but for the church of God. God is interested in his church. The world is already condemned. But what does he want? He wants to bring in a harvest. As many as he possibly can. As many of the Gentiles that must come in before his return. For what purpose? For the people of the church to get their lives together for his coming and to bring in a harvest. Yes, to bring in a harvest. That is why he is using Trump right now to bring in the harvest, a retrieve to bring in the harvest. He is going along with these things. It is the hand of God that is allowing it. God knows what he's doing. He's leading Trump in that direction. And I know that we need to get prepared and ready. As was already said, the preparation is for us. Now, we can't take this lightly. This is one of the most important things that could happen on the face of this earth right now, is that the church prepares herself and that the harvest comes in before the great and wonderful and terrible, awesome day of the Lord. That's what the word terrible means. It's awesome. It's incredible. It has never happened before, as it's going to happen now. So Trump is being used by God. It does not surprise me at all. And I am very, very grateful to be able to be part of it. And I hope you're grateful to be part of such an incredible time as this. I mean, we have been chosen, folks, from the foundation of the earth. We have been chosen to be here alive from the foundations of the earth. God has known us, and he planned and he made sure that there was a time of destiny arriving for our lives. And here we are. Here we are. So each one of us have to reach out. We each one of us have to reach out not only to this country, but to the nations, because that is what was required in Matthew 25 when the Lord was going up into his domain to rule and reign, to take over this earth once and for all, until he puts everything under his feet, until there is reconciliation altogether by whom? The people who will serve Almighty God. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. Let's get going. Let's get going. And Jesus said that before he returns, the good news about the kingdom, the message of salvation, should be preached throughout the world and to motivate everyone. Each one of us should be motivating. Each one of us should be motivating each other and those people that are in the world. We need to get out there and tell them about salvation, that they have to have salvation or their end will be horrible, horrible, because God will not be able to take them with him. If they don't believe in him, it can't happen. It's very simple. Believing is everything. Believing is how the world has been created. Believing is everything that has happened to you to receive your salvation. What you believe shall be done unto you. As you believe, so shall it be. So what is your belief system? Is it unto the great I am, the creator of all things, the creator of the cosmos, the creator of every star, the creator of every planet, the creator of this earth, which was made perfect in temperature, in degree, in access, in every means to have life upon it. There is a scientist that will prove we are the only one. And he just recently found it that has been created for life. Now, you may disagree with me, but I would suggest that you look up, just type in, online, was the earth the only created cosmos planet on the earth? I mean, excuse me, the only created earth planet for life. So your life is here on the planet. And so we're grateful for that. And there is another thing I wanted to discuss with you. It had to do with the vision on America. Because everybody is asking the question, what about America? We're not interested in the rest of the world. We're interested in America because we live here. That's the way we operate, right? Well, the rest of the world needs help too. But of course, we look upon our own desires. Okay, this vision on America, it was done in 2007. The initials are Shah, J-H-A, no more was said than that, speaks in this manner. I was shown this vision part after part on the 6th of August, 2007. The sky over America was gray. Pastor Vincent has mentioned that oftentimes, that there was a covering over America and it was gray and heavy. And he goes on to say, around the land of America, that is what I saw. I saw money, but no wealth. Food, but no health. Knowledge, but no wisdom. Morals in some churches, which are of no avail in the kingdom. I saw eyes glued to see the American dream, but blind to the kingdom vision, greedy leaders seeking money, depending not on God's provision. I saw breasts running dry that could not feed others. Deceivers were milking the Christian sisters and brothers. The richest nation was yet in debt. I saw a large vault door marked the nation's gold. Inside it was empty. There was no gold there. I saw beds in houses, but no sleep. The sheets looked unslept in. The bedroom carpets of some looked worn from pacing to and fro. In deep anxiety, the people were. I saw many at the dining table with a plate full of multicolored capsules and tablets, decorating the plate as dressings. I saw that some were mere vanity pills. I saw fear, confusion, anxiety in the nation and in the church in America. Erosion, erosion, erosion. Mess, mess, mess. I saw false security, false confidence. Many beautiful eagles had turned to vultures. I saw church leaders who had received a call from God to go on a sabbatical, refuse and choose rather to stay and run their corporations. I saw the Lord say, I gave America leaders, pioneers, families. I asked, Lord, where are they? They aborted them, came the reply. There were abortions in abortion clinics and abortions in the church. I saw people beaten black and blue, thrown out of a church where the dustbins lay. A few managed to crawl their way to the main road and were divinely revived. I saw some women sitting in churches with dark glasses, putting on makeup very carefully. They were wearing dark gray polo neck sweaters, hiding scars of abuse. I saw that the sunglasses were to hide the severely bruised eyes. The makeup was to prevent people from noticing that there were women who suffered abuse. Underneath the sweater were further wounds that they were hiding. I saw oppression on their faces. Across on the horizon, I saw the Statue of Liberty. As I gazed at it, looking puzzled, I was told liberty is not a statue. And as I was flown over the land of America, I saw TV studios shooting plotted script reality shows. I saw in homes unnatural foods, unnatural relationships. I saw young adults, children in garages and hidden buildings experimenting on making homemade bombs. I saw murderers, rapists, child abusers, dangerous criminals being given a small piece of paper, such as one sees cocaine wrapped in. And they were to read a short prayer scribed on this little sheet of paper after making a donation and were immediately declared Christians by these greedy leaders. These criminals had a gold-colored cross placed around their necks by these leaders and sent through a door where there was a passage that was dark within. These unredeemed sat in churches with the redeemed. They were like a time bomb ready to explode. They spoke Christianese fluently. They were Christians, not by having repented, but just by prayer that they had said by rote. I saw various piles of wood ready for the sacrifice unto the Lord. But the people who had before been ready to sacrifice their lives unto the Lord were now playing ping pong, tennis, games, or swimming in adjacent streams. They would not lay down what was precious to them. These were those God had great plans for, but they just could not come out of their leisure mode. Sacrifice had now become an unfamiliar word to them. Their games would soon end, for the Lord in his grace and mercy would be chastising them, yet deal graciously at the same time with them. In the West, I saw a giant pile of marijuana and drugs burning, and the smoke from this was wafting all over the country, giving people new highs. I saw what seemed like the spiritual environment in the book of Judges, every man doing that which was right in his own eyes. And when the oppression was too great, a leader was raised up to usher in a revival. What, that high evaporated? Many went back to business as usual and talked of the good old days of revival. Don't you hear that in church? I do, about the good old days of revival. I saw many nationwide gatherings calling the church and nation to repentance. Many of the leaders, doctrinal errors, spoken false prophecies, fleeced their Christian brothers and sisters for personal gain, stood on the forefront and confessed everyone else's sins, but never their own biblical errors or hidden sin. They just did not recant and repent. I saw many Christians' ideas for doing church rise and fizzle, and it was back to business as usual for many. People met in physical squares, and biblical concepts were being taught and discussed and argued biblical matters to death. Conspiracy theories abounded in the church and in the nation. God lovers, though, continue their lives, distancing themselves from the corruption around, much as if they lived in another country, though they were on American soil. Then suddenly I heard a word, requisitioning, like the army in war, requisitions property, vehicles, requisitioning. I saw the seats of the mega churches shake, and the leaders stood on stage under the bright lights, but the people, congregations, were shaking in their seats. And those who went bankrupt approached the leaders of these mega churches for financial help. The leaders, instead of extending a helping hand like Marie Antoinette, the Queen of France, said, "If you can't find bread, eat cake." The people were pleading, "But for years we have tithed to you." The plea fell on deaf ears. Disillusioned, disillusioned, disillusioned. All over America, I saw much disillusionment. Now that goes on, and I'm going to continue with that as of Monday. But the world is a disillusionment in disillusion. And we want to get into the brightness of truth. And that was the truth. As dead as it sounds, it's as bright. Because all that disillusionment is going to be shaken, and the reality of truth is going to come forth. Do not take these foundational requirements lightly. It's going to take a move of God like we have never seen before. And we have to ask ourselves the questions. Are we ready? Are we avoiding the necessary preparation for deliverance? We have to ask ourselves, are we looking exactly into the right eye of freedom and truth, which has to first begin within ourselves? You see, there are so many things in deception of the devil, of Satan, that the church itself has been wrapped in. And the Lord is after his church, after his body, after his bride. He wants her pure and clean before his coming. And she is to cry out, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, because of all of the delusionment and desecration upon the earth. He's looking for her, that church, without spot and wrinkle. That must be you and I. If you are listening to this program, you are part of that cry, part of that call. And he is calling from the four corners of the earth, come together, my beloved, the ones that I may marry, the ones that I may become truly one with in every aspect. But the deception of Satan within the church and within the world is holding us back. We have to have our feet on well-grounded faith in Christ Jesus. And the church needs to become the Holy Spirit-moved church, the common good for all who comes and who desires righteousness. But there is a warning. There is a warning. Don't think that religion in itself is the answer. The struggle is against the powers of darkness. And the primary purpose is to come into the Christian life to steal, kill, and destroy. What you are seeing and hearing about is the result of a church that lost its way. A church that has fallen backwards. Mega churches that are giving good news about tickling their ears of how they could be wealthy, how they could be walking in faith, but nothing spoken about true repentance to be the overcomer that God has called us to be, only to receive all the goodies by faith. And this is the great deception. It's within the church. Judgment starts in the church first and then in the world. And what you're seeing is judgment within the church. But God Almighty is using President Trump to bring a period of time. He shakes up a little and then gives period of a time. He shakes up a little and then gives period of time. And he's using President Trump in that way. It's like having labor pains until the true child is born. And what child is that? It's the Christ within you. It's the Christ within you, that you may become made in his image. Christ in you, the hope of glory, to be made into his image. All that you're seeing coming upon the earth is for you, to help you to become and prepared the overcoming Christ. You are going through preparation by watching what you're watching and trying to figure out what is true and what isn't, trying to figure out what is false and what isn't. This is the work of discernment by the Holy Spirit within you to make you altogether the glorious child of God that he has called you to be. And he is allowing all that's going on in this world to get your attention and mine. But in the midst of it, there is a protective hedge around and about you. As you walk in the wilderness, searching and looking, he is taking care of you. Though Satan comes against you, he is raising you up to understand how to unleash your sword and do spiritual warfare. And it's as real as any war that has ever been on the face of this planet. Now we have to continue with the application, the actual application of this work. We cannot get easy and lay back. This is a time to be made bright as light can be. This is a time to get rid of all darkness within you. When we seek help, we will realize that the help has been given unto us by various means. Omega Radio is one of them. The help that is being given there is the truth being preached. And there's no greater help than truth being preached in the midst of confusion and darkness. We have to become aware and seek what true spiritual nature is. And we have to understand that the problems that we are in, whether persecution from others or our own accusations against ourselves, is the work of the devil. And what you have been granted is books that will tell you how to do spiritual warfare against the lying spirit so that your mind would be cleansed of what is true and what isn't true. You will know what is true. And this cleansing is imperative. It is imperative for you and I to be made whole. And by that I mean that there is no deception within you and no demonic presence, no stronghold of fear and trepidation. That's the true army of God. I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, to help you and I to break strongholds and the power of the devil in your life. And I may say that it has helped multitudes of people. If you want to help this program, then I'm asking you to send $20 to help Omega Station. That is a 24/7 good news, perfect understanding of what the Word of God is really in true discernment, the igniting of the Holy Spirit within it. You are not going to be confused. We speak the same language. And that language is the Holy Spirit language, revealing the Word of God in power and in truth. And why do we speak the same language on Omega Radio Station? It's because God has downloaded us with the revelation of the hour. Each and every one that comes forth, that comes on this program. It is designed to help you. And we have brought this Omega Radio Station to fruition from hard work. Pastor Vincent Xavier is needing your help to open the door in a greater way that the truth may be revealed all over the world. Every nation is picking up on this, on these programs and on his and on mine. And if you want to be part of this great work, please remember that it takes effort. It takes love and it takes giving. Send $20 to P.O. Box, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722, to Pastor Vincent Xavier. And I will be quick to send you my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, as a gift for your giving heart. Then you become part of this great work. You become part of what you're not part of right now.
90 seconds.
We need your prayers. We need your support. We thank you for everything you have done to help us this far. But we're going further. We're pulling out our sword to fight the good fight of righteousness. It's a two-edged sword, dividing truth from untruth. And it is the word of God in the revelation knowledge of his word. Not a word covered over through darkness to confuse, but the true understanding of God's word. Please come forth. Be that mighty army. Become part of what we are doing. This is the greatest time to ever rise up to take the kingdom by force. It is God's kingdom that we are taking by force. Thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Let us realize this. It is not the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom of righteousness and truth. God bless you. You are loved.